I consider them as tools. Tools. Tools to carry out what God calls us to do in an accountable way to people. But if ever I go home to be with the Lord, I would want all those organizations that directly relate to me, just close shop and let somebody with anointing set up another one. As for a church organization, I would say I would train out a person, and then when a person takes over, you must know that that person must carry the church in their anointing, in the direction God calls them. Because God anoints human beings. And that's what happened and caused corruption. And so here is Barak. He was a fantastic organizer. He was a fantastic person at gathering people. But he needed to know who is the prophet, who is the administrator. And the funny thing about this third thing is that it was a lady. Which makes it twice as hard for a man to submit himself to. But God has a sense of humor. Of all of the passages that talk about the different churches, the church problem, and the church problem that talks about submission, He gives the hardest one. He put a woman there. Just to tell us that it is not the sex that is important. Neither male nor female. But if it's the anointing. I would have great respect for a woman who is called to God if she is called to an evangelist office. And if I receive her into my church, I'll receive her as an evangelist. Because there's neither male nor female in the ministry of God. Amen. You all look very quiet here. Oh, not stepping on some of your toes. I believe a woman can be called. God is no respecter of persons. God can call women pastors. Let them pastor. Don't run them down. They already have it difficult. Why make life more difficult for them? Remember, it's already difficult being a woman pastor. So why have the rest of us, you know, say some more things, make it harder? No, make it easier for them. If they have a genuine call. Respect them as they are. And here is where God is saying, in the restoration of Israel, where there is a calling of God in the Old Testament, there was a prophetic office that Deborah stood in. That Barak, in spite of his position, learned to recognize. And then there was harmony. Then there was victory in Israel and restoration. Oh, hallelujah. Submission to the right authority. Spiritual authority comes straight from God. The fourth, which is one of the longest, is Gideon. Gideon typifies with the fourth church, which faces the church in Thyatira, the corrupt church. And notice in verse 20, it talks about the Revelation 2 verse 20, the woman Jezebel, and all that she did and how Jesus said, I gave her space to repent. Now notice in the book of Judges chapter 6, when it came to Gideon, Baal worship was so common that Gideon's own father had a Baal idol. It was in pockets, but now it was more firmly established. And so here, we see how to overcome the spirit of Jezebel. Because it was Jezebel who set up Baal worship. And we see first the preparation of the man. Again, always important. The whole book of Judges tells us the problem was not in organization. Organization is a skill that naturally people can learn and can acquire, and some have a high talent in. It is also a spiritual gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 onwards. they had an organizational set up. They had an organization of elders in the book of Judges. Notice how the elders always consult together. They had an organization, but they lack a vessel. Because God does not anoint an organization. God anoints a vessel. When you remove that vessel, you remove the anointing. When you have an anointed person, now the other way is true. Let's be balanced. On one side, there's organization. And if the organization has the right people in the right place, the right anointing, it flows down to every aspect of the organization. On the other side are men and women of God, whom God called to be leaders in His kingdom, to lead God's people. Some men and some women of God are afraid of organization. As a result of that, their ministries never take off. Why? They're always lone ranger. Lone rangers forever. Their ministries are not recognized. Why? Because they're wearing a mask. Always trying to tell, but they are afraid of organization. Afraid. Remember this. If you want to do any great work for God, you cannot avoid organization. It must be done. So on one extreme are men and women of God afraid of organization. On the other side are organizations afraid of men and women of God. If you come, you must submit to our rules and regulations. You must sign our contract, employ, we can hire and fire. So you must submit. The organization is afraid that it is men and women of God. The balance is not to be afraid. They both have the place. But it is a relationship that we must learn. What priorities are there? It's important to have the vessel. The first thing that God does, you notice, when they cry for deliverance, God didn't set up an organization and went, go on. God calls people. People, common people like you and I. And He anoints, not because of who we are, because of His grace. And He sends us out. So He prepares this man called Gideon in chapter 6, verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." And in verse 11, Gideon was hiding. He was threshing wheat in a wine press in order to hide from the Midianites. You know what a wine press is? A wine press is a big, huge thing that you hide inside. It's threshing wheat. Hiding somewhere inside. Nobody can see him. Angel appeared to him and said, "Oh, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon looked up, wondering whether that was a sarcastic statement. And he says in verse 13, "My Lord, if you say the Lord is with us, where are all the miracles that we heard about?" And verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And he says, "Oh my God, how can I save? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh." We are not talking about him, but he's talking about himself now. "Weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house." Now notice here how much it takes for God to prepare Gideon. He was a natural coward. God had to turn him around. And so finally God began to deal with his life. And he was still not sure. And he says in verse 18, "Now don't go away, and I will bring my offering and set it before you." And he says, the angel said, "I will wait until you come back." Gideon went in to prepare all the offering. And while he was preparing, then he came forth. The angel said, "Take everything and give all these things." And when he gave all his offering, the angel vanished. Verse 22, when Gideon perceived that he was the angel, he says, "Alas, O God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Now look at this man. Here he is, you know, God appeared to him and he was a coward inside and said, "Let me go and prepare something." We're not sure whether he was trying to run away or not. So as he was preparing and he came back, all these things, all this offering, and when he saw that it was real, the first thing he said was, "Last God, I'm going to die now." That was his meaning. Apparently, God understood, because God said in verse 23, "You will not die." See, God has to pull him up from his fear. And God says, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." And that was when Gideon changed. He built an altar to the Lord and called it the Lord Shalom. That is, the Lord is my peace. And immediately after he has done it, in verse 27, Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. And then the men of the city arose early in the morning, and there was an altar of Baal torn down. And when his father came and saw it, in verse 29, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing." And when they had said all those things, in verse 36, Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, you have said." Then he put his famous test of the fleece. You remember the fleece that he placed before them. Then when the fleece was exactly what he said, he turned it the other way and he tested God twice. Now this is Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he did not have the Spirit of God dwelling inside him. And as a result of that, he gave this fleece. But as you can see here, everything was a preparation. God was going down at his level, building him up slowly. And each step, there was always a confirmation that God gave him. Now, you are not to copy the fleece method, but there's a teaching behind it. First, he built an altar. Secondly, he destroyed the altar of Baal in his father's place. Then he had the fleece. After that, he had the appointment of 300. There's a long story in the next chapter. Following that, he had this. He heard this dream that the enemies had. There are at least five occasions when God had to encourage him to do different things. Five different occasions. And if you include some of the others, you find that there are several occasions that God is dealing in his life. And here it tells us, and it points back to dealing with what I call the spirit of Baal, which is also the same spirit as Jezebel. And it has to be dealt a step at a time, a step at a time. And each step, you notice, unless he was willing and able to remove the altar from his own place, he was not ready. My friends, unless you remove the spirit of Jezebel from your own life, which is a representative of the spirit of Baal, you will not be able to face the enemy. And that's how God began to build his faith. The story of Gideon is basically the story of faith. In Deborah, you see the gift of prophecy prominent. In Joshua, you see the gift of faith prominent. And so in all the various stories of Gideon, you find the gift of faith being exercised and being trained in each area. You must understand that the fleece is nothing to do with the normal faith. It was an act of the gift of faith that God was granting. The gift of faith that God was granting. And 300 people fighting those thousands of people, it was a gift of faith that was operating.